This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you back here as April Ryan begins her first week with Dr. Chavis and Black Press USA and the NNPA, and so thankful to have her where she is. She is en route to the White House. She goes to work every day. She goes in every day. They're supposed to be, the way they're supposed to work, they're supposed to have press briefings. This is a real live government head of state situation. Every country in the world does it, but this one has not done it yet, this government. And so I don't know.
So Mark, let me explain why. Because just right now, when you any president, especially in this moment, when the president talks and he does a lot of talking, this is the flurry of the first couple of days. He's been talking to the press and he's been talking. And I think this is their thought, that he's speaking for himself. They don't need to step on his message. But there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. And as we have a guest on here today who's challenging the president, and that's, I believe, I guess I'm going to let it out, but that's one of the questions I'm going to ask today, if there is a briefing, you know, about, I want to ask them specifically, why are you walking away from DEI? Because it's not just about Black and brown. It's also about those with disabilities. It's also about women as well. Why are you walking away from DEI? Why is it such a third rail for you? And then what do you think about the fact that National Urban League has put the spotlight on this? What do you think about the fact that Reverend Al Sharpton is talking about boycotting all the organizations, all the agencies, and all the
businesses,
public sector businesses, yes, that have pulled away from DEI, like McDonald's, number one, a place where a lot of Black folks went, maybe still frequent. But as for me in my house, I am a Black woman, and I'm supporting those. Like I told you, Mark, I'm moving to fan base now because it feels like the algorithms are changing on different spaces. So, but that's going to be my question today, if I get a chance to ask a question.
I think it's also important.
Say your name and title.
We didn't introduce you first. I'm sorry, Mark. The president, the illustrious president of the National Urban League, former mayor of New Orleans, and as far as I'm concerned, one of the most well-versed individuals when it comes to the relationship between accountability in government and economics that impacts our communities,
yes,
public and private sector. You know, this is our go-to brother, Mark Morial. All right, brother.
Hey, Mark. Thank you, Mark, and thank you, April. And look, congratulations to Ben Chavis for bringing you in, April. You know, you've been our voice in the press room, in the White House press corps for a long time. It's deeply appreciated and much needed. I think it's important to also ask, Why are you distorting the situation by suggesting that those who've got an opportunity because of civil rights and DE&I lack merit? Mm-hmm. That's the heart of the matter. You're suggesting, and this is an old 1970s argument, goes all the way back to school integration and civil rights, that you're creating a pathway for me for less than qualified. Why are you distorting it? There are many, many people like your former HUD secretary, Ben Carson, right? Who, because of economic opportunity and civil rights, had an opportunity. He was qualified, but the doors to the schools he attended were not open.
Right.
The blacks before the civil rights movement. How about him, right? Now, he may say, I'm not a beneficiary of DE&I, but the fact of the matter is, he was a benefit of civil rights. We have to turn this argument about, this false argument about lack of merit, you know, on its terms. I've used myself as an example, right? Growing up in the South, growing up in a segregated hospital, in a segregated city that saw the Civil Rights Act pass when I was a little boy. Got a chance to go to some incredible schools when everyone in my family had basically been an HBCU grad for the most part. And my mother said, you're going to these schools. Mm-hmm. And why are we going? Because we fought to get the door open. That's why you're going. And without people fighting to get the door open, I would not have had that opportunity, nor would many, 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 many of my generation and subsequent generations. We have to turn this argument about merit. We have to expose it as for what it is. It is a distortion. And it is just another in a series of big lies to advance a divisive agenda.
So, Mr. Morial, I want to give an example of merit, a current day example, Mark, if I will. Mm-hmm. Think about this. Pete Hegseth.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. Pete Hegseth, who is up for what? Secretary of Defense. There's now testimony and there are reports that Pete Hegseth has been alleged to have been so drunk he's been passed out. There's so many different things that are going on. I mean, he was in the military, but he's never held that kind of ranking that will put him in the space to be head of the Department of Defense. He's never been a general. He's never been on that level. And when we talk about merit,
he's never been a successful executive.
Right, right.
In any way, shape, or form.
And when we talk about merit, does he get merit for that? That's where the hypocrisy comes in. And let's talk about, it's whether you like Kamala Harris or not. It's not about her politics. We talk about merit. She attended an HBCU. She went to law school. She was a lawyer. She was the AG for the state of California. She ran for U.S. Senate. Now she, just with that alone, she was in the legislative and the judiciary, the judicial branches of government, two parts of the three-tier system of government. And then she was brought in to be on the ticket with Joe Biden to be his vice president. They won. She was also vice president of the United States. That is merit. She was in three branches of government. She actively worked as an attorney. She actively became the attorney general for the state of California. When we talk about merit, that's merit. And everybody wants to knock it down. But then Pete Hegseth never had the merit.
Compare Pete Hegseth to Lloyd Austin, Robert Gates,
Colin Powell.
Donald Rumsfeld. Colin Powell. I'm talking about Republicans and Democrats.
Right.
Compare him, his qualifications, his preparation to them. You know, April, way back, and they've talked a little bit about this. John Tower was a U.S. Senator from Texas, was nominated by George Bush, the father, to become defense secretary. Now, he was a colleague of theirs in the Senate. He was not confirmed because of his drinking problem.
Right.
There was once a point in time where a person with Pete Hegseth's, quote, issues would never get close to any position of trust, high-level management, and high-level stress. I mean, you're using the correct word, contradiction and hypocrisy. in terms of who he is and what he represents. You think if Pete Hegseth were a black man or a woman, he'd be anywhere near this job. Same profile, anywhere near this job.
And another thing, I'm from Baltimore. I don't live in Baltimore City proper, but I'm in the area. They call the mayor, the current mayor, Brandon Scott of Baltimore, DEI hire. He was a city councilman prior to. We talk about merit. There is a climb up versus just coming into a position without any kind
of... Well, when people say that the mayor of Baltimore was a DEI hire, you know what I asked myself? Was Serena Williams a DEI tennis player? Was Tiger Woods a DEI golfer? Was is LeBron James a DEI? Michael Jordan a DEI basketball star? Okay, how are you using this word? How are you using this terminology? Look, stop smearing people's reputation. Stop smearing. This is a smear campaign. This is a campaign of distortion. And this is a campaign that's trying to repeal the last 70 years of progress since Brown v. Board, 54, the Civil Rights Act, 64, the Voting Rights Act, 65, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The progress we've made as a country isn't what we'd like it to be, but we're a far way away from where we used to be. And we got to really help everyone understand that this movement is a movement to turn the hands of time backwards.
Oh, yes.
That's why we have to resist it. It reminds me in history of the massive resistance opposition to the Brown decision, which was massive. You had the Southern Manifesto. You had the secret compact among the Southern senators to never, ever, 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 ever vote for civil rights. I mean, you had an obstinance that was so bad that in my home state, they closed the schools in an effort to try to avoid integrating the schools. It was so bad that the district court judge, Skelly Wright, had to be transferred to the District of Columbia Circuit Court of Appeals because his life was threatened because he continues to sign orders striking down segregation in schools. Are we returning to that era in America? And we need to be reminded of how ugly that era was, how divisive that era was, but also how strong advocacy from many helped to bend that arc. The movement that Dr. King was a part of and so many others were a part of at the local level. So I just feel like it's so good to have you in that White House press room, April, asking questions that others are uncomfortable or afraid to ask. And I appreciate your forthrightness in doing it. Those questions have to be asked and we have to have these discussions.
Well, the reason why I'm asking it is because, one, and let's be clear, I'm not in the pocket of anyone, but the people who we focus on, our listeners, our readers, right, Mark, are people who look like us. Donald Trump came up with these executive orders about DEI. And now you, as a civil rights leader who focuses on the economics of it all, this is a story right here. Now, the next piece, are you asking the Trump administration for a meeting on this?
You know, we are going to discuss amongst our coalition whether we ask and whom we ask for a meeting, because this is the thing, April. You know, I am always open to dialogue that is real and meaningful. What I'm not going to participate is in a performative engagement. What I'm not going to engage in, because I've been around too long, is something such as what happened at the National Association of Black Journalists, where someone can basically insult us publicly because, we would never be silent. But if you want to have a real conversation about the future of the country, I don't think anyone in the civil rights community is opposed to that. But we're not into show meetings, performative meetings. If you remember what happened to the black college presidents. They went in, it was turned into a photo op, and they ended up meeting with the Secretary of Education, and they announced money that they already had.
Right.
And then
right,
Steve Bannon and Steve Bannon came back to them telling them, oh, well, this money that you won is unconstitutional. And then Congress gave them more. So it was kind of Donald Trump said, Steve Bannon. Yeah.
I mean, Steve Bannon took a lot of things that, you know, I mean, you got non-lawyers opinionating on the Constitution. It's just a lot of it in today. It's just a whole lot of empty rhetoric. But I mean, the point I'm making is if there's a chance for a meaningful dialogue on the issues that impact the nation, no one is opposed to that. But no performance artistry, no meetings that turn into shouting matches and insults.
No.
Look, we dealt with President Biden, President Obama, President George H.W. Bush, President George W. Bush, President Clinton, as a civil rights community, and during the times that I served as mayor of New Orleans and president of the Conference of Mayors.
Right.
We dealt with all of these leaders. All those meetings were not always friendly meetings, some of them with tough conversations, even with some presidents we were aligned with, but they were dialogue about what's best for America. Civil rights and those of us who do this work, we have no hidden agendas. We have a simple agenda, and that is, you know, access, equality, and justice for our communities, right? Our communities want a better life. Our communities want and believe that our government has an obligation to all people, particularly to those that are vulnerable. So that's the spirit with which we're going to proceed. And again, you know, a meeting, we've never been opposed to a meeting, but it's got to be real.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
If you want to see more companies make things in America, consider buying more things from companies who are already doing that very thing. Companies like American Giant. These guys have been making t-shirts, sweatshirts, flannels, and blue jeans in America for the last 14 years, with cotton grown right here in the USA. That means good jobs for lots of hardworking Americans in factory towns all over the country. Check out their stuff in stores everywhere, or pick up something awesome at American-Giant.com.
Yeah. But what constitutes real for you? And also, who are your coalition partners? If you can.
Well, we had a broad coalition at the National Press Club yesterday. We had many people who you know, Jhené Nelson and Damon Hewitt. We had Latino leaders like Brenda Castillo and Juan Proano. We had representatives of both the Jewish American and Arab American communities. We had a leader of Common Cause in the room. We had several people like Reverend Al and Janet Regia who were there in spirit, but because of travel obligations couldn't be with us. So we have a broad coalition of African American, Latino, Asian American, LGBTQ. Kelly Robinson was there with us as well. And that coalition is going to grow. We want to demonstrate that the issues we talk about are about Black America, but not simply and only exclusively about Black America. That is the way I think today we have to demonstrate the power of all communities in favor of these American values.
Yeah, yeah. So Diversity Roundtable yesterday, in fact, is what happened. I want to put some on screen to share with both of you, the audience, because apparently there are even some Trump people who are being impacted by this, some Trump supporters, as a matter of fact. So this is a gentleman here. Can you, I hope you all can see
make
that.
Make it larger.
Maybe make it bigger. Okay, I'm gonna make it a little bit bigger.
I may not be able to see it, but you can tell me what it says.
So it says, my wife, the gentleman is saying, my wife is a nurse and was recently hired by the VA. Some of us have heard the story about all of the nurses, Black nurses that and nurses of color that have been hired. And all of that has been rescinded. His wife was recently hired by the VA. Our home is packed up. We have a new home, spent thousands to move our family from Fort Worth to Waco. Following Trump's hiring freeze, executive order of Virginia rescinded her job offer. My wife's in tears. And then he says, this is an African-American. We are all huge Trump supporters. And I know that this was an unintended consequence. Now, I think that's a little naive on the person who wrote this on his part. But these are the consequences of dealing with someone like Donald Trump. I mean, that's
who will do the nursing.
Right.
Who will do the nursing? I mean, in effect, he's sanctioning under the guise of DEI, they're sanctioning basically discrimination, employment discrimination. We won't hire these nurses. We won't hire these Black nurses.
And civil rights is gone.
And who will do the nursing? I mean, you're dealing with some realities here, guys, around what the workforce in America looks like. If you look at the under 40 workforce in America, it is half white and half non-white. If you look at the under 40 workforce in America, it's more women than it is men, right? So when you start excluding people from those opportunities, who will do the work?
But here's the thing though, and what's with the irony, what Mark just read a minute ago, he said, and we supported him. You know, is there a section, I mean, And I want you to answer me this, please. Is there a section of the Black community that really feels that because I supported him, I'm exempt from everything that he does to all the other Black people?
Well, this is one of the problems, April, and that is when our politics becomes transactional, people begin to think about it only in terms of what someone can or will do for me. Did I get a check? Did I get a job specifically? Then it's an erosion, right? And you've basically tricked yourself. You've engaged in self-trickery and self-deception because you've tricked yourself into not reading between the lines, Project 2025 telegraphed the fact that all of these things were going to happen. These are right out of the playbook, and they had a compact. And Donald Trump is this way. He had a compact where he denies it for the sake of the campaign.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a methodology of doing business. You know, I tell an old story about Earl K. Long, governor of Louisiana, way back in the day. He had run for office, got elected governor. He told the people in North Louisiana he wasn't going to raise taxes. He told people in South Louisiana he was going to raise taxes. And then his after the election, his chief of staff said, "Man, governor, they're mad at you. You did all these. You said this. You said that." He said, "What you going to tell them now?" He said, "I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm going to tell them I lied to them because I had to win the damn election." This is a true story. About this 1950s politician, right? "Hey, you know, now," and then he says to his aide, "tell him, ask him how I can make it up to him. I'll make it up to him." He said, "But I had to win, so I told some lies." And, you know, right. Truth as a value proposition, right, in American leadership seems to be a corrosive and an eroding value.
So here's the truth. DEI, you call it, but DEI is gone in McDonald's. DEI is gone in the Department of Defense. DEI is gone, if it was ever really there, in Walmart. DEI is gone in Facebook. DEI is gone almost in every space and place. What are you asking average Americans to do? I mean, we have places like Chick-fil-A that supports Donald Trump. And there are a lot of Black workers in many urban cities.
So let me level set, because I did have a conversation with McDonald's, who stressed, and I can't speak for the company, they have to speak for themselves.
So this is news, this is breaking news.
That they remain committed to inclusion, and they did make changes to their program. And I'm learning more about what changes they made, but here's my message to them and to many. I said, we have to judge you on your results. Is your workforce going to continue to be diverse? Are your contractors going to continue to be diverse? I'm going to judge you on your results. So some companies, to be candid, are really, honestly, trying to have it a little bit both ways, you know, and some of them have stepped away completely. Others have said, well, we modified. I'll also tell you that because of the actions of Facebook and Meta, I was one of a number of people that had been recruited by them to serve on an informal advisory council. I've sent them a message that I'm stepping completely away from that because they made those changes without any consultation with the advisory council. So the advisory council helped them put their content moderation initiatives in place. The advisory council assisted them in their DE&I journey. Many of us put a tremendous amount of time, energy, and effort into supporting them. And then the leader of the company, without any notice to anyone, walks completely away without any consultation. Well, I cannot serve on committees for show. I cannot remain engaged in a way in which the voices are disrespected. So I have stepped away from that. I have indicated to the company that I've stepped away from that. So these are tough and difficult times. Look, I raised with Walmart, and of course, like many, they are communicating that they still have a commitment, but they've made changes. We have to learn what that means for the benefit of the community. What's disconcerting is that any of these folks would walk away without any discussion with many civil rights community leaders, elected groups like the Congressional Black Caucus, Congressional Hispanic Caucus, and others who've worked with them. And even in some cases, April, you know this, when they stepped their foot in the wrong space and made a mistake, we didn't pounce on them. We pushed them to do better. So there's also, in the manner in which this is taking place, I think a degree of dismissiveness and disrespect that I am not pleased with.
This is breaking news, Mark. This, all of this from McDonald's to Walmart, this is breaking news, what you just said. But it's so, and I know you saw this, both of you, Mark Square, both Mark Square today.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, my office is telling me, Peter Paul, I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead. Really quick, you saw the list of stores that supported Trump, and many Black people were sending that around. What do you say to the people who are concerned with the pull from DEI, from the pull from and those who supported Trump? Do you say
I'm cynical. I expect business people politically with their campaign contributions, I expect they're gonna support both political parties, right? That's just the cynical side of me from being on the inside of politics. I am mostly concerned with the actions and the policies of American business.
Yep.
If they're committed to us and committed to the community, you know, your politics is your politics. But like I said, in the short period of time when I advised business as a lawyer, I always said to them that they needed to be bipartisan in their campaign contributions, right? Because the pendulum swings so hard. So from a business point of view, you know, you may have to do that. But I want to focus more on their actions, on their policies, than their politics. Most of us certainly will see that and ask a very simple question. If you are supporting him, what say you to us?
That's
what people like. I'm saying what I hear from people. You know, I'm moving around the country like you all are, listening to folks from all walks of life, people who are politically engaged, people who are not so politically engaged, folks in the community, and they ask a lot of questions. And a lot of times I'll say, well, how do you feel about this? What's your take on this?
Yeah.
And you know, we have to make sure, you know, those of us in leadership positions, And I try, you know, we have to make sure we're hearing what our constituencies and what our people and what the people in the community are saying, and not try to present ourselves like we got all the answers. Just because we are who we are, we understand everything. And there's a tremendous amount of pain. There's a tremendous amount of people feeling slapped in the face, tremendous amount of people feeling rejected and dejected. And in this moment, I'm really appealing to people to say we've got to, you know, raise our energy level, regain, Mark Thompson, our focus, channel the resilience of Dr. King and all of our great leaders right back into today's important work. I just had a conversation earlier this morning, a check-in with Leader Jeffries to just give him a sense of how our diversity roundtable went yesterday. And I'm encouraging the elected leaders to use their voices assertively on equal opportunity and D&I. We need the voices. We need not just, look, you're going to have my voice. You're going to have the voice of, you know, Reverend Al and Melanie and a whole bunch of us. I mean, you know, the Legal Defense Fund, the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights, women's organizations, like NC, you're going to have our voice. We are clear that what we stand for, we've got to fight for and work for. We need elected voices. We need mayors and legislators and governors. We need city council members to step up as well. So I'm sorry, I got to jump on 11 o'clock.
Sure. Thank you.
What's the buying power of Black people? What's the buying power of Black people?
It is now 1.8 trillion, moving to 2. If you add Latinos and Asians, we're over 5.
Wow.
So it's a tremendous.
Money speaks loudly.
Yeah. Money speaks loudly. And we have to continue. And I hope you all will repeat that figure. And in some things, you'll get a nice chuckle out of this. And it's always my, I call it my Black Jeopardy question, right? What product do we over-index in the most? Abel Ryan, I'm challenging you. Mark Thompson.
Why are you coming at me? Let me see.
So social media?
No, what product? Let's say a product you buy.
Oh.
Chicken nuggets? I don't know. Is it close? Chicken. Don't tell me tennis shoes.
Grits, baby.
Oh my God.
Really?
For real?
Yep. 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 We have an over-indexing of grits. And there are a couple of other things you over-index on, but I think that's the one we over-index the most.
Shrimp and grits, cheesy grits.
You know, we look, I got through law school my last semester eating grits for breakfast, lunch.
My daughter loves grits, and she's an American University student. Wow. Really?
It's fast, it's quick, it's easy, it's good.
And it fills you up. That's right.
Wait a minute. Yeah. If Black folks stopped buying grits in certain places, it would be an issue. It would cause a financial issue. Is that what you're saying?
So right now there is a discussion of how we leverage our buying power. No announcements on that today because we need to be thoughtful and strategic about what we do in that space.
Grits.
But there's a lot of conversation out there. But
that's why Jill Scott sang about it. Grits, you know, in that song.
And don't forget Al Green.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? That was a bad part of grits.
I'm stepping back. But
for those who are too young,
you know, that's incredible. Lord, we love Reverend Al Green, right?
That's right.
Love you too. Mark.
Yeah, hey, appreciate you all. All right.
Thanks, man. Keep us posted, all right?
Mark, let's talk. Appreciate you. Thank you.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So you are on your way into the White House right now.
Yeah, but I'm going to, my daughter is in class, Mark, right now. I'm going to text her and tell her, do you realize what Black folks buy the most? With our almost $2 trillion buying power? Grits. Yeah. Oh my gosh. This was.
Well, I need to hit a whole list because obviously some other things that we need to do.
I know, that's big.
But let me share this too, folks. And I know people talk about boycott and all that kind of stuff. You know, Rashad Robinson, I was saying to another group earlier.
Color change, yeah.
Boycotts don't really work anymore because what the companies do, they check their bottom line to see whether there's any change, and there rarely is. But what worked to get the advertisers off of Fox News and off of Rush Limbaugh was associating these advertisers' brands with hate speech and discrimination. That's the one thing that these companies don't want. They don't want brand embarrassment. You can't recover from that. That's almost
brand embarrassment. Say that again. You don't want brand embarrassment.
And that's almost untangible enough to be threatened. So they can look and see, well, how many people actually didn't buy grits this month? Right. And if we seriously ain't buying grits, if we're not doing it seriously enough, it doesn't matter.
Mark, I hear you, but this is a new day. We have never seen it this harsh in this modern day. We've never seen it come at us this harshly. So what I'm saying is during the campaigning for president, there were lists going around of people who, of companies who supported this candidate, companies who didn't support this candidate, or companies who supported this candidate. So then people are like, I want you to be aware. But what happens when things get so bad, because it's almost feeling like a second class citizenship situation. You know, it's the Browning of America that is the problem. OK, so like Mark Moriel said, you support him, but what you going to do for us? You know, and that's the question. If people are not supporting you, do you stand with them? You know, and I'm not saying boycott or not, but just human nature. You know, don't you agree? Human nature. If you go on that extreme, why should I even deal with you?
Well, again, I'm just talking about a strategy that has worked in the recent past, and we got to do things that work. I mean, over the years, we've talked boycotts before, but that's not a very easy thing to do. If people are of that mind today and are willing to be that disciplined, okay, we need real organization and mobilization to make that happen.
I'm not saying, but what I'm saying is the
companies reacted to attacks on the brand.
Right.
And they react to boycott. So if we can organize around what your brand is doing, what your brand is doing, and that, I think we're saying the same thing. Yeah. We can organize around what your brand is and is not doing for us and how discriminatory your brand is. Nobody wants their brand associated with something hateful and negative.
Yeah, I'm not let me be clear. I'm not espousing boycotts, but it's just human nature. If somebody doesn't support you, do you stand there and say, "Well, I love you so much," and they're like looking down on you? No, but the bottom line is,
April, is it really human nature? Because we've not been that successful.
Well, in my house, let me tell you, in my house, when I was a little girl, my mother used to always tell me, she said, "I want to see me on TV," and I hunted for those shows that showed me, from Julia to Different World, all of those positive shows. And I hunt for products, you know, and I'm not trying to do a product endorsement now, Patterned by Tracee Ellis Ross. I think that's the best thing since sliced bread. I look for people who resemble me, who are supporting me, who are talking about my hair texture, whatever. I look for stores that support me and understand my cooking habits or what have you, and understand my kids. You know, my kids want to go to those places and they're not supporting us. I'm like, do you want to put your money there? So, and I tell them that as a Black woman in this country that used to be the great American melting pot. So I want to support, I put my dollars in, I support Black business, but I also support companies who take me seriously as a person. I'm not saying boycott or Black cot or whatever you call it. I'm saying I support you if you support me.
Yeah, no, we're saying the same thing.
We're just trying.
What I'm saying is the most recent strategy was effective.
Or was it?
Limbaugh. Fox has no advertisers. Limbaugh lost all his advertisers because of that strategy. You know, again, a boycott is very direct. Have you stopped commerce and money spending with this particular entity or not? And if you're not putting a big dent in that, they laugh at you. You know,
$2 trillion.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of us to get disciplined. You know, we love Dr. King, but some of us aren't as disciplined, April, to say, I'm going to stop spending my money at Walmart.
Grit.
You know, and I don't know, he said grits, but I don't know what the grits companies.
Right, which ones? No, but he said that's the number one thing, grits.
That may be irrelevant to what we're trying to do. That's just one.
No, it's not. If grits is
we're talking about companies that don't practice DEI.
Yeah, but you're the activist journalist, and I'm the journalist, strictly journalist. But think about this: from what Mark Morial, the head of the National Urban League, that focuses on the economics of the Black community, if indeed we have almost $2 trillion of spending power in this nation, and the number one thing that we buy is grits. If Black folks stop buying grits at the place that you mentioned, it could bring them to their knees. And the other products on there. And find other places to buy grits from.
I know that's what we buy, but if we stop buying grits, that's not going to affect Walmart. It's not going to affect McDonald's. You know, it's a whole conversation about the other things that really, and I mean, and to be fair, I don't know the grits manufacturers. We don't know where they are on DI.
We
spend money.
But I just said buy it.
But
from
Walmart sells a million other things.
Right, but I'm saying if you stop buying grits and all the other things on those things that Black people buy the most of from those places that don't support you, it could help. It could help put a dent in their dollar bottom line. I don't know. I hear you. And you're always on the front line and marching and doing. You're the activist. You know what's out there. But I'm just thinking for what he told us, that's newsy. It breaks my mind, Mark. I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, I'd like to see what the other stuff we buy in that list. But
let's text him and ask him for the rest of it. The list.
So you're on your way to the White House right now.
Yeah.
And let us know if what happens, if there's a briefing or something. I don't know. I
mean, you know I'm going to call you. You know I'm going to call you either way. But just, he's talking.
If you want to, if you want to take your iPad in, we'll go live from the briefing room. Come on.
Okay. Look at you. But no, but seriously, we can do that. But it's so interesting how he even pulled away from the Facebook advisory board because they did things without, from McDonald's. He's talked to McDonald's. I mean, I'm just recapping this great conversation we had with Mark Morial because it was so much news in it. And I'm going to write a story. And if we have a briefing, I'm going to ask about it because this was too newsy today not to to walk away from. He got off the advisory board for Facebook because they moved without the rights advisory board.
There's no point dealing with Facebook anymore.
And then he's talked to Walmart, who says, yeah, you know, on the surface we're in, but we're still, you know, hiring people. So, this was a big, Mark.
Big day.
Mark Thompson, this was big. You had a big conversation today, brother.
That's right. April, be safe. We will see you at the White House.
Yeah, I need to get over there. So,
okay.
Be good, guys.
All right. Take care. It has been made plain.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.